This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3353 for Wednesday, the 9th of June 2021. Today's show is entitled, My Terminal Journey, Part 01. It is hosted by some guy on the internet and is about 47 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, becoming terminal friendly.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, Some Guy on the Internet. Today, I want to talk to you guys about using the terminal. Now, as a new to Linux user, I got a little nervous about the terminal, and it was scary at first. I mean, scrolling text for days, not exactly knowing what any of that stuff was, and I just felt like, man, if I type the wrong thing in here, either I'm going to A, blow up my system, or B, have the feds at my door asking me what the hell am I doing. So I picked up some resources online. One of them was called the Linux Command Line, TLCL, and I'll try to leave a link for that in the show notes down there. And reading that document was very helpful. Turns out I bought that document about 5 times through numerous Humble Bundle deals. And so I already had it. I just didn't know I had it. But yeah, I went online and I learned about it from the site. They have an online readable version, and I think they also have a download for you. We could just download for free. But yeah, I have multiple copies of that, and I've decided to just start reading it. And it's really made things a lot more comfortable for me dealing with the terminal. And some of the other things that I've seen from users and YouTube and things like that, I've seen people talk about actually using the terminal as like a file manager. And I thought, you know, that would be interesting to try. And then there are people who use the terminal for email. And I thought, wow, that's a thing. I didn't really think anybody would want to, but yeah, I guess that's the thing. Then they're using the terminal as a web browser. And I'm like, all right, well, that's also interesting, but not sure if I want to go that far just yet. And it's a very powerful tool. So I thought, it'd probably be good if I know a lot more about this thing. So I went, read the book, most of it anyway. I didn't get through it all because I had, you know, being father and husband and everything all in one. You gotta pick your poison. So I'm here dealing with this book, and I thought, man, I'm going to start using this terminal as my file manager so I can be extra comfortable with it. So one of the things that you start off with, I mean, you learn about CD for changing directory, which is super easy. And I mean, I thought that, hey, that's super easy. I can definitely do that. You learn about the print working directory, PWD. I thought that's not really necessary. And I wonder why they created a print working directory. And some of my research shows that you can actually change that prompt. So you know how when you're in the directory, it actually, like on an Ubuntu-based system, it shows you what directory you're in alongside the prompt. So it'll show you your username that you're logged in as with the name of the device that you're on. Then you'll have the directory that you're in right there. So I'm guessing in the old days, your prompt was probably something super minimal, like just a dollar sign or something. And yeah, you just didn't know where you were. So you type print working directory and then it'd show you where you were. So it's useful. It's just now that your prompt actually shows you where you are. And I changed my prompt back to that minimum one. I went online and learned how to do that. I didn't like it, so I switched back. So that was pretty cool. I didn't know that you could. Like, all of this flexibility is super unique to me, and I'm experimenting with it. And I'm a little bit scared at times because this is my main machine where I do all of my work on. So I'm like, okay, if I change something, I better know what the hell I'm doing. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to have to go through a lot of work trying to change it back, or heaven forbid, I'm going to have to do a nuke and pave. Even though I'm backed up, I still don't want to have to do it. I'm very comfortable running this system. Don't want to have to go back and change all my settings and things of that nature for my workflow. But experimenting around the terminal isn't as scary. So we see one of the things that I've done that was super cool that I didn't know you could do either. I made a directory in the documents directory called dump or dot dump, right? So mk, let's go ahead and mkdir space dot dump. That's inside the documents directory. Now, I didn't do that in my home folder because the home folder is already, nasty with all sorts of stuff in there. And I don't even want to go through that, but it just bothers me to have all that stuff in there. But I'm not going to mess with that right now. So I'm inside of that directory that I created, the dot dump. And I thought, okay, I want to start saving all this terminal output because when I'm installing when I'm installing software and doing updates and upgrades and all of this stuff, for me, I'm just getting long screen of scrolling text. And I don't know what the hell I'm installing. I don't know what any of that means. Where's the software even coming from? Like, it's strange that I'm just typing in a few letters and then stuff's happening at a rapid pace. So I want to kind of learn so I can feel comfortable with this process. Otherwise, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm kind of afraid to keep using this thing, especially for the personal information that I have stored on it. And, it just made me really nervous. So I figured out that, okay, you can actually redirect that output because on the terminal, everything you type from the keyboard is your standard input. And the stuff that comes out on the screen after you've input a command, that's going to be your standard output unless it's an error. Then, you got your standard error. So one of the things I learned about is the T command. And the way it was explained to me is it's like a T pipe in plumbing. The T pipe allows for the output to go in two directions. One, it'll stay on the screen like you're normally used to seeing the text stroll on the screen. And it'll also go somewhere else that you want it to go. So it'll just send the output in two directions. Let's go ahead and do a quick example of that. So I'm inside my dot dump folder right now. And first thing first, I'm going to create a new dump file. I have a script. a noob with a script. It's so awesome to say that. I have a script. Now I'm like one of you super cool hacker people out there. I got scripts for things now. Awesome. Let me go ahead and activate that script. And basically what that script is it creates a new dump file for me. That's all it does. It just sets up the file the way I want it and creates that file right in this folder. So I don't have to constantly do touch and then add the things in the top of the file that I want to be in there, like the date that it's created and a few other things in there. And I also have a script for upgrade as well that I normally run right after creating the new dump file. Now, the reason I create these dump files is because every single day I want to log the things that I'm doing as I'm experimenting with my system. And the dump file is named DUMP, and then it has the date. And the date is formatted as the month, a two-digit month, hyphen, two-digit day, hyphen, four-digit year, .txt. So that way, if I did something yesterday, typing a bunch of cool commands yesterday and it gave me the feedback I wanted, but I didn't have much time, it'll be saved in that file. And when I come back to it and it's like, I'm trying to remember what it was, I can go back in that file and check it out. It's like a record for me of what I've done. So, and I also know about the bash history, by the way. I'm aware of the bash history, but this is my way. I want to do it my way. So I have my dump folder I just created using the script here. Let's go ahead and do an LA, and it's actually LS with the hyphen L for long, H for human readable, and the capital A for all files without the dot dot. If you do a lowercase a, it'll show you all files with the dot dot. I didn't want that. So let me do it clear real quick and do that again so I can have my screen back up. So I got a new dump file in there. Now, what I do is I'm going to do an update here, and I'm going to talk you through sending that output into multiple directions here. So let's do a sudo apt get update. Now we're not going to press enter yet. We know that this text will definitely give us an update, but first thing we want to do first, we want to set up our T. So we hit space, then we're going to hit the pipe, which is on the English QWERTY keyboard. That's the keyboard I'm using, the English QWERTY, American English QWERTY, pardon me. Above the enter key, there is the backslash key, which is also below the backspace key. Now, if you hold down shift and hit that, you'll get a vertical bar that's known as the pipe. I inserted the pipe following the update. So it's sudo apt get update space pipe space. And then we're going to do T, which is T-E-E, tango echo echo. We're going to do another space. We're going to do hyphen, and then we're going to do an A for append. Because if we just do T without the append flag, it will overwrite the basic setup that's inside the dump file. And I don't want to have to redo it. I can just, you know, run that script again and it'll redo it, but I don't want to do that. So we do append so we can add to that dump file. Then we go ahead and mention the file. And because we're in the same directory as the file, I can just do ./. And then I type du, hit tab. It'll tab complete up to a certain point because I have multiple dump files in there. It'll stop at the point where things are similar, you know. So the beginning of the files are always going to be the word dump and then a zero because we're in the early part of the year. So it's going to be 01 for January, 02 for February. And since we're in May right now, 05. So it's going to stop at zero and I'll type in a 5. Then I'll type in the first hyphen, 05, and then I'll hit tab complete again. So press tab and it'll complete all the way through to the rest of the thing there. So now let me just put a semicolon at the end and I'll put a new report at the end of that as well. So I'll do an NRPT for new report. That's a bash alias that I set up. So hopefully there's time I can talk to you guys about the bash aliases as well, because it's going to be very important that I explain to you the bash aliases. Otherwise, they won't make much sense. So I have a bash alias for NRPT. That's the alias that I'm using. And that stands for new report, NRPT. That's Nevada. I forgot what R is. Papa Tango. I forgot what R is. I'm drawing a blank on that. But anyway, I got that in there. And now let's do another redirect here, except this time we don't want the new report to splash on the screen. So we're not going to use a T for this redirect. This time we're going to use the, what are these things called? They're called chevrons. It's like that, the right arrow, which is also on the period key. So if you hold down shift and hit the period key twice, remember, you have to do it twice. You have to put two of those things in there. And that will allow me to append. If I only put one in there, it would overwrite the file. So it would erase everything that's in there and then replace it with the new report. We don't want to do that. We want to append the new report to the information that's about to be stored in there, which is also this apt get update. So let's go. We put two of those in there. And now let's once again reference the dump file here because we're appending to ./dump. I'm a little nervous talking to you about this, by the way, because I'm a noob. But let's go ahead and type that in there and get the autocomplete. And I'm going to put another semicolon at the end there. You don't need that second semicolon at the end. You can just leave it blank. But I just like to put it there, get in the habit of using those, and hit enter. So it's going to ask me for my password. Let's go ahead and get that in there. There you go. And now you got, you know, strolling text. It's not that much this time because I update just about every day. But yeah, you know, strolling text. Now, say if I'm busy and I got to walk away right now, I don't have time to read that. I just know I need to update for security and all of that. Right. And same thing with upgrade. I'm not going to do an upgrade right now. We're just doing this as an example. I needed something to work with. Now, if you're not familiar with Vim or Nano, and you, I mean, I like using Vim now and I've been using it a little bit more, but in the beginning, when I was still learning the terminal and trying to figure out what the heck am I actually doing here, it was a little hard to keep remembering the Vim settings and trying to not, you know, screw things up. So I wanted a more comfortable place to learn. So that's when I got VS Codeium. So we got our VS Codeium. Let's go ahead and open that up real quick, because I don't want to, if you're also new and you're listening to this, I don't want you to think that you also have to open Vim and do it. I want you to feel comfortable. So you can open up your text editor. It can be Zed if you're on Linux Mint. I'm using Linux Mint. Gedit if you're on Ubuntu, whatever. You know, if you use VS Code, VS Codeium, whatever, it all works. Let me go down here to VS Codeium. And I installed VS Codeium as a snap on Ubuntu. Had to delete that darn file that they had and installed the snap. So let's go ahead and now open up that file that we created, that .dump file. I'm going to go over there and get that loaded. All right, so here we go. We now have that loaded up in VS Codeium. So we're going to take a look through this file here, and we can see that the stuff that we just sent into it is in there along with the new report at the bottom. Now, the reason I put the new report in there is just a separator. All it does is, as I'm typing in new commands and more stuff's piling up in there, it's going to give me a visual indication that there's a blank here to, you know, let me know that another command came after that. This is where the first command's output end and the second command output begins. And you can just inspect it. And it's pretty cool because you see all these different URLs and stuff in there, but you know, the mirrors where stuff comes from. And I noticed in there, my laptop, I changed it over back to Linux Mint. It's the same laptop I did the episode on where I had it running on Ubuntu. I changed it back to Linux Mint, and I changed the kernel on it as well. I didn't know that these systems come with the ability to swap the kernel, so that way you can, I guess, enable newer hardware. And I didn't have to add a new PPA or anything. The system automatically came with a selection of kernels that you can use within the 5.4 range and the 5.8. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool, you know? So I, you know, look at me, a noob, and I'm switching kernels. It's pretty cool. Yeah, but back to the business at hand. Let's get back to business here. So we have our output, and we can inspect it in a comfortable environment. We're in our .dump file, and we can just stroll through that and see what this thing is doing, where it's going, what files it's getting, and, you know, just know what's happening. And then you can actually inspect those URLs if you want. You can copy them and just put them into your browser and just try to figure out what the heck's going on. That's basically what I was doing. When I do an update and upgrade, I go through there and I just stroll through. And then I start learning about the apt-get or apt if you want to, because apt-get and apt do virtually the same thing. It's just that apt-get, I learned, gives you a little bit more options if you wanted to explore, or if you're a system maintainer or whatever, because you can also use apt-cache, which is super cool. Apt-cache allowed me to do a lot of searching for certain things as well, searching for different files that are in the repositories, I guess. Yeah, so let's go ahead and use that real quick. So one of the things that I searched for was nmap. Let's use nmap real quick. So we can just do apt-cache. That's C-A-C-H-E. Then we're gonna do space, and then we're gonna do search. All right, and then we'll type in, let's do space, and we'll type in the name of a thing we wanna search for. So we can, so let's go ahead and try this out. We'll do nmap. So N-M-A-P. That's Nevada Mike Alpha Papa, nmap. And that gives us a list of things here. Now, we didn't run that into our file, so let's do that again real quick. Let's hit the up arrow key here. That'll give us the command we just entered in. And if we hit up once more, that'll, you know, show us the command before that, but we're not going to go that. Let's hit down, go back to the nmap search that we created. So once again, that's apt. We don't need sudo privileges because we're just searching. We're not doing an install. So apt-cache, which is Charlie Alpha Charlie Hotel Echo, and then, you know, space, the word search, space, nmap. Now let's do another space after nmap, and then we can do the T-pipe, or we can just redirect all of it using the double, I think it's the chevron, you know, the greater than symbol or whatever. Do two of those, and then we'll send that to the dump file that we created. Period slash dump 05-05, and then tab complete, hit enter. There we go. So now you'll notice if you do that, none of your output actually landed on the screen. All of it went directly to the file. So if I go back over here to VS Codeium, we will see that all of that input is in there. And, you know, you can then, in your comfortable environment, scroll through that and start, you know, seeing what sort of files it's pulling up. And it actually pulls up Nmap in there, the network mapper, but it also pulled up a lot of other cool stuff in here that I didn't know about. And I was doing this with all sorts of stuff that I already have installed, just, you know, because it's giving me more output that I never knew about. And these are different files that also worked with Nmap or related to Nmap or whatever, you know? So I'm like, you know, like right down here, it's got PSAD for, port scan attack detector, you know, and it's like, wow, I didn't know that exists. I guess that's something I can toy with a little bit later on. And I'm just, you know, learning. This is my exploring method. I can just constantly keep typing in these different things. Now, if you're using VS Codeium, it also has a terminal in it. So once you get comfortable, you can actually move to that terminal within VS Codeium. And that way you don't have to keep switching between Code or Codeium, whichever one you're using, and your terminal. You can just use the terminal in Codeium. But for now, I'll switch back to the native terminal. And, you know, so learning and using AppCache to basically explore packages in the repository was super cool. I can just find out things and I don't even have to go online. I don't have to open up a browser, go to the forms or anything. So I've got this little tool within the terminal that I'm able to use to explore for myself and just take time learning about these things. Another thing I wanted to do, because I kept hearing the word dependency used so much. Now within AppCache, if we do a man on AppCache here, sorry about that, my nervousness is kicking in here. But if we do a man on that, it has a, here we go, depends. So it shows you the dependencies for a file. That's another thing. I kept hearing the word dependencies and I'm reading all these different forms and people were using terms like dependency hell and things of that nature. And I kept thinking about what is a dependency really? I wonder, you know, so I do a man here and it shows me that there is a command that I can use that'll actually show me the dependencies for things. So there's also depends. And I think there's another one for show depends as well. Let me take a quick browse through here really quickly. I'm sure it's in here. It's just that I'm a little bit nervous and I'm normally doing this where I don't have to constantly talk while I'm doing it. So we're just going to use depends for now. So that's D-E-P-E-N-D-S. So let's go ahead and let me hit Q so we can back out of that man page. Now we're going to run. We're going to hit up twice to go back to the command that we were using, which is the AppCache search. Let's go ahead and remove the word search there and put in depends, D-E-P-E-N-D-S. So we're going to get an AppCache space depends space Nmap, and then that'll go over to the dump file. So let's go ahead and hit enter on that. And now that was dumped. Oh crap, I forgot to put a new report in between there. Whoops, well, that'll be all right. I know where it is because I actually have it open so I can see it. So now with Nmap, it shows us this little line. It'll give us Nmap and then it'll show us the list of dependencies for Nmap, which is pretty cool. And now you can just say highlight this libc6 is one of the first thing. And then there's libgcc. -S1, you can just highlight that, go over to Firefox and go search what the hell that is, right? I suppose you can also search with AppCache as well, but I mean, the idea is I don't know what this stuff is, so I want to know what it is. I want to kind of figure out more so I can feel comfortable. If I know what it is, I won't feel so bad about installing it, right? I won't feel nervous, like, you know, am I being monitored by some of this stuff? Like, is any of this, you know, stuff that I ran away from Windows with? So let me just explore it, know what it is, feel more comfortable. So now that you understand how to find the dependencies that are required for a file. Another thing that I learned, I'm not sure if this is actually a good thing to do, but I've done this with quite a few files. But instead of installing a file, I actually just downloaded a few of them just to see if it was possible. And I kept them for later on. And like when I reformatted my laptop and wanted to install certain software on there that I didn't want to download all over again, I had certain software downloaded onto a thumb drive. So what I had done to do that, right? So as an example here, we're in my dump folder. I'm going to type in sudo apt-get, so apt-get space download. Oops, I should probably go to the man page first, but I think it's just download, or I think -d also works or whatever, but we'll do download. We'll download dict. That's another one of the things that I was using before. So dict is, that's spelled, because I know it may sound funny the way I'm saying it. It's D-I-C-T, and that's short for a dictionary. So we're going to type in D Delta I Indigo C Charlie T Tango, and let's just hit enter. Oh, well, it's going to need the password again. Ta-da! So we just downloaded dict. So now if you wanted to, you can go into your file manager and check that. Or what you can do is type in, you know, ls space -, L for long format, H for human readable. So when you get those file sizes that are next to the file, instead of it being like stupid long strings, it'll actually be something like, you know, so-and-so megabytes, so-and-so gigabytes. And then we can do the uppercase A. Hit enter, and look at that. I've now got a package in there called dict underscore 1.12.1, a couple other letters, .deb, right? So I just downloaded that package for the dictionary. And now I can actually save that onto a flash drive. And if I were to wipe my system completely out on the go, not here at home where I have the internet, I mean like on the go. This is why I did this, by the way. On Windows, I used to be able to just download EXEs, put them onto a flash drive. If something were to happen and I needed to reformat or whatever, it's fine because I can get all of my software back up and running. I have the EXEs and I can just reinstall and keep going. On Linux, I didn't know about file types or any of that stuff. So as I'm learning what they're called and how they're used, I learned that you can actually download them from the repository without installing them and then save them on something like a flash drive. So I got 128 gig flash drive here with a few of these files on it that I know I want to reinstall if because especially with Linux, you can do a full system nuke and pave in like 15 minutes. So once I nuke and pave out in the field, think about it. I don't have internet out there. If everything's just what I have on me, well, I can just plug this thumb drive in. And guess what? Several of the packages that I'm normally used to using, I can automatically sideload directly onto the system. And these are packages that come from the repository. So it's not like I'm online finding them in a place that I'm not exactly sure if they're safe to use. They come from the system repository. So I'm very certain that they're safe and I can just load them and use them. Now, the bad part about that, one of the things you need to keep in mind, if you're going to do that, you're going to want to update those files every so often, because as your system, you know, repository updates, you could be using a very old version of files, which is okay if that's what you want to do, right? I mean, it's nothing wrong with it if you want to use the older files, especially for something like dict. I'm not worried about any security concerns for that. And I also have like all the other packages with dict, like dict D, dict WN, dict GCIDE, you know, all so that way I can use that dictionary offline. You know what I mean? So it's not going to go on the internet to find the definitions, all of it stored locally. And I also have Artha as well if I wanted to use a visual, a graphical dictionary. And thesaurus, because the Moby Dict thesaurus, or is it Dict Moby thesaurus, whatever it's called, that's no longer in here. I still have a deb of it, but it's no longer on the Linux Mint repository. So I'm glad I saved that dev. That's another good thing about that. You can just kind of keep that dev around if you wanted to. But yeah, it's really cool being able to do this with Linux, right? And like I mentioned earlier, the different commands that I have, the aliases that I have, excuse me, in my bash RC. So let's go ahead and do a CD space. And I believe it's the tilde. Remember, that's the key to the left of the number one on the QWERTY American keyboard. Hold down shift and hit that. And then we CD back to our home. Let's do a quick LA here. And there you go, you got your bash RC down in there. So now we're gonna use Vim to open up that bash RC. So let's do Vim, or you can use Nano. You know what, I'm just gonna use Vim. You can use Nano or VS Codeium, whatever you wanna use. I'm just gonna use Vim now because I'm already here. So vim.bashrc. There we go. Now we can scroll straight down. And if you wanna learn Vim as new user, just type in Vim tutor, all one word. Vim tutor, like a teacher tutor. I know my accent, if you're from another country or whatever, I might sound a little weird. That'll get you through Vim nice and easy. So I'm going to talk to you about some of the things that I've added into my bash RC to make it a little bit easier for me when I'm doing all this exploration in the terminal. Some of the things I've added is I have a few aliases for LS. One is the LA, which is the LS space capital A, lowercase LH. Then, you know, you do a space. I have the dash dash group directories first option as well, because I like having all directories, then files. Now, aside from the LA bash alias, I also have an LR and an LAR. Now the LR is basically your LS, but with a recursive added to it. Oh crap, what the? Something's not right here. Oh, it is, okay, I see how I did that. I see what I did there. My recursive, I have as the word recursive written out rather than the dash R. That's another thing I started doing, especially when I was doing that script, rather than using just the dash R, which is the shorthand. So if you're typing it in at the terminal, that'd be a faster way of doing it. But when you're putting it into a script, you want it to be a little bit more readable. So here in the bash RC, I have hyphen L H space group directories first space dash dash recursive. So that way it gives me an LS with the recursive feature. So that way, you know, I get more data. Another thing, the LAR that I have, which is, you know, the exact same thing, except it has the LS hyphen A, you know, the capital A, LH space group directories first space recursive. Now, there's also one for RM. I have another alias for RM. And the reason I had some mistakes, but yeah, I put the I give an alias for RM that's called RMI for interactive, and I also included verbose in there as well. And there's also MV. I have an alias for that called MVI. Same thing with CPI. And there's a few other aliases in here for shutdown and reboot. And the NRPT that I talked to you guys about before for new report, all that is an echo with the E flag. So that way I can, within that echo using the E flag, I have a set of quotations. And within those quotations, I have, they're the double quotes, by the way, not the single quotes. I have, backslash n, which gives me two new lines, and then, you know, new report, just the words new report there, and then another two new lines, like blank lines, so that there's a space, like a gap within the file that just has the word new report in the center of the gap, and then whatever the next thing of, I'll put all of this in the show notes, by the way. I'll just copy and paste from my Bash RC and put it in there, so that way you can see it, because I'm nervous as hell while talking to you about this. I don't want anybody to think that I'm some expert here. I'm toying around with everything. All of this is just me experimenting and learning. And I feel like this is what most people actually do, right? I mean, you gotta experiment in order to know what you're doing. And it's fun too. It's super fun when I don't have my daughter climbing on top of my head and bashing me with toys and stuff. It's really, really fun. So one last alias before we do a quick test here with some things. I have my .cd. Well, not .cd. It's the alias is cd.dump, all one word. And all that does within that alias, I have the change, you know, the CD change directory, space, the tilde, that little horizontal squiggly thing, and then the directory for my dump file, you know, documents/.dump. So that way I can just type in cd.dump and it automatically CDs me into that correct directory. And you can do that for multiple other type of directories if you want to just get in there fast. And I can actually shorten that up to just cd.d. In fact, that's what I'll do. Let me just go ahead and, I think with Vim, I can just do 3D. No. Because I think 3, I'm not even going to mess with that. Let's just do I to go into insert mode. Because I don't remember what it was to delete just the letters and not the word. Maybe I had it right, but I'm not going to test it here. Let's not be that brave. Then we hit escape. All right, let's get our WQ. And that should write and quit our session there. So now we can just do cd.d, and that'll switch me over to the dot dump directory. So let's clear screen here. Now, when you're clearing your screen, you can type in clear and press enter. That'll just clear your screen, or just control L. That was another thing I learned. Somebody was yelling at another guy about doing that in a video. You know, he kept typing in clear and asked him, why don't you just do control L? And I was like, hey, does that really work? So I tried it and hey, it does work. Another one I learned was control R to do searches for the commands that you were typing in earlier. Right, if you don't remember what a command was, you could do control R and that'll pull up, you know, the prompt that allows you to kind of search for that command. And it's like, wow, that's super cool. Now, another thing, if you want to open files from within the terminal, so you already know how to CD your way around and get into documents and things of that nature. So let's go ahead and CD back into dump, right? So I do the CD.D because I just alter a, oh, that's right. I gotta restart my terminal. Forgot about that. So let's do an exit. And then we're going to do a keyboard shortcut to open up a new one, keyboard shortcut to go to full screen. And then we're going to go back CD.D. Because when you change something in your Bash RC, I'm glad I did that. You can then shut your terminal down, not your computer, like just close the terminal and reopen it. And then those changes will take effect. So now we're in our dump folder. Let me do an LA to reveal all the thing that's in there. I need to remove that dick thing, but I'll do it later. Let's open up that dump file that we have already opened, but we're going to do it this time from the terminal, which is wonderful. So what we're going to do is we're going to do XDG. That's X Delta Gamma hyphen open. So you can just type in OP and hit tab and it'll autocomplete. So that's X-ray Delta Gamma hyphen open, the word open, all one word, put a space. And then you could just type in the thing that you want to open. So you can do D-U-M-P for that dump file that I just created. And then we're going to do, you know, the date for the dump file there. There we go. So I put in the name of the file that I want to open. That's XDG hyphen open, then the name of the file. Enter. There you go. And it just opened that file I have the wrong. I wanted it to open in VS Codeium, but the default application for this file is actually Zed, so it opened the file in Zed. So if you were to do this with a picture, let's find a picture somewhere on my system. Actually, we got a CD into the pictures directory. So, okay, let's do that. LA, and do I have a picture in here? Yes, I do. There we go. So XDG hyphen open space. And let's type in the name of that picture There we go. And then hit enter. Bada bing. Now, what do you know? It just opened up my picture. And what is this called? Let's hit about. What is this called? X viewer. There you go. It just opened up my picture in X viewer because X viewer is the default application for opening pictures on my PC. Now, the only time when you'll get an error doing that is when you do not have a default application selected for the file that you're trying to open. Yeah, I learned about that one too. So you can change what your default application is within your menus. I don't know how to do that from the terminal just yet, but I will eventually find out if it's possible. I'm sure, pretty sure it is. But so you can change directories. You can search for files, which is really cool in the terminal. There's so many ways you can do it. I'm learning awk now, which, you know, I was doing it with grep, right? So one of the things I was doing, let's go back to the cd.dump real quick. cd.d, I mean. So we go to the dump. Pardon me, let me clear my throat. All right, I know I'm going pretty long here, but I apologize. I'm getting a little excited trying to do this. So we're back in our dump file here. Now, one of the things we want to do is we want to, oh, actually, this probably won't work for dump. Either way, we'll stay here anyway, because this is where the actual dump files that I want to use are. So let's just stay here. This is where I do a lot of my work, by the way, my experimentation. Let's do an LAR, and let's remember, you know what? Forget the bash alias, because I want you to know how to do this as well. So you can do an LS space hyphen lowercase l lowercase h uppercase a lowercase r space, and then the home folder, which is the tilde. Now that you've got that in, one of the things that I do for that, right? Like I want to search for a file. I don't know if it's really in there, but I'm searching for it. Space. We're going to do a pipe symbol, and then we're going to pipe that into grep. In grep, I think it's the I flag. So you do hyphen I for where it won't case insensitive or whatever. And then you can just, you know, search for a file that you think is in that folder. You think it's in the home folder. You're not really sure. Let's just do, I'm just going to type in the word bash. There we go. Enter. Now I get an output of three folders that have the word, three files that have the word bash in it. That's .bashrc, .bashlogout, and .bashhistory. So basically, I'm able to use the recursive feature to search every single directory within the home directory. So you know that there's the pictures, the videos, the everything that's in there. It searched every single one of those directories, including the home directory itself, for the word bash, and then gave me an output of that. So now you can just, you know, search, and it's super cool. I'm actually learning to do the same thing with awk and modify my outputs using sed and awk as well. Wow, is it, it's awesome. And how I'm learning all of that stuff is, like I mentioned to you in another episode, I have like an entire Humble library. So I have tons of books. Like every time I see programming books, Linux books, whatever, that go on sale, I just buy it. The entire Humble Bundle thing that they have there. So yeah, it turns out, and because I do that, I have tons of duplicates as well. So yeah, got to start monitoring that. But I'm reading them now, and I'm becoming more and more efficient at, you know, using the terminal. So I can move around. I can search from files from within any directory. I can move files around, archive files using tar. Well, we're running a bit long, so I may not be able to do that now here, but you guys have an idea of some of the things that you can do in the terminal if you're new and listening. It's super fantastic. I know I didn't give you much of an explanation of what grep does. I forgot what grep actually stands for. General, or is it GNU? Regular expressions program or something like that. I think that's what it was. GNU regular expression or general regular, something like that. But it just deals with regular expressions. And my understanding of regular expressions so far is basically patterns. anything that's a pattern. So the pattern that we just searched for was the word bash, B-A-S-H. So we searched for that and we got the three results. So if you don't know where a file is, you can use something like that. Now I'll make sure that the show notes have a little bit of this. I'll take some time and try to decorate it to make it look nice and put it in there. But that's all I have time for. I apologize that this went super long and that I'm super nervous. And hopefully as time goes by and I keep practicing this, I'll get a little bit better. Thank you to Mr. Ken Fallon for informing me that I was doing it wrong with the show intro. I didn't read it all the way when I clicked that button. I thought it said, would you like to insert the show intro outro music? I thought that's what I had saw there because I was just kind of breezing through. I'm excited to upload a show. So I'm like, yeah, put the thing on there. I like that. And that's not what it said at all. What it said was, did you add it already? So yeah, I apologize for that. So yeah, I'm going to make sure I add it myself this time and do it correctly. And again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Mr. Fallon, for informing me of that. Thank you, everyone, for all of your feedback. I've had people email me. I've seen some comments on there. And my God, is my head about the size of a truck right now from that last community news thing that they did. And they reviewed the Thunderbird show that I did last. The discussion that came from that really made me feel good, because when you're nervous and you're new, you feel like your input really isn't. To me, you guys are a bunch of elite people that know everything, and I'm just this new guy coming here trying to talk to you. I feel like whatever I'm talking to you about, you're like, next, you know, you don't even want to hear it because you know all of that already. So I felt like it would just be like one person here that's new, just like me, that'll benefit from it. Turns out it's interesting to hackers. So thank you all. And I'm leaving now because I talk too much. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.